Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web and beyond at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. My name is Angelina Diana, and I'll be your host for this hour. Our guest for this hour will be Lloyd Auerbach. Some interesting things we're going to talk about. Imagine taking lessons and understanding ghosts and apparitions and poltergeists. Also, a book that he wrote that's going to be republished in a few months called Psychic Dreaming. We'll be going over that as well. And in the second section of our time together, perhaps we'll revisit the topic of ghosts. So please stay tuned. If you have any questions for Lloyd, the number to reach us is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Before we welcome Lloyd to the program, I'm just going to go over a few things that the Forever Family Foundation is offering. And if you do have the opportunity to follow along, there's so much information on the Forever Family Foundation website. A lot of upcoming events that you can be involved in, whether they're online events or in-person events. We have our wonderful annual grief retreat that's happening July 22nd from 4 p.m. On the 22nd to July 24th. And the topic is Love Knows No Death, Grief Transformation Retreat. There's so much to offer there. I would really love it if you can check it out. It's going to be held in Connecticut, and all the information is on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And if you're kind of an explorer and curious about this field, every month we have something online called the Visionary Explorers Group. It's free and it's online. So imagine being in the comfort of your home, your own home, with like-minded people. It is facilitated by Dr. Betty Kovacs, and it's a very intriguing, interesting look into the different experiences that you might have had on a personal level of feeling your loved ones, seeing your loved ones, your dreams, whatever they may be. We always look for that safe harbor, and especially if you're grieving, you want to have that safe space with like-minded people, and that's certainly the event for you. Now, we always have our afterlife discussion groups that are going on. There's one coming up on August 24th in Cold Spring Harbor. An afterlife discussion group is a similar thing than the web series that we do, but this is an in-person one. And if you're interested in starting your own afterlife discussion group, they're held all over the country. You can contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. So if you go to the site, I remember when I first started with the organization over 10 years ago, there were three or four events. Well, we've grown to having well over 15. So if you can take some time to go to the website, that would be fabulous. And before we take a commercial break, I just want to remind you that we are a not-for-profit. And as a not-for-profit, we're an all-volunteer organization. And we can bring programs like this, the Signs of Life radio program, which is held every Thursday with different topics, the different events that you'll see online. And if you become a member, which is absolutely free, we now have the Signs of Life magazine that will be delivered to your home. No, not by email, but you can have a hard copy right in your hands. And this particular magazine has so much information, from interesting articles on what the scientific world is doing about survival of consciousness. There's an Ask the Medium section if you're curious about how mediums view the afterlife and the experiences or questions that you might have that you can share and get the opinion of a medium. There's that as well. There's something called Dazzle Shots, which is like It's a scientific term that was basically, well, not a scientific term, but some scientists have used it in some research, where if it's an amazing validating thing that maybe you didn't know as a griever, sitting down with a medium, but someone from the afterlife came through and said a topic there or a favorite thing or something that loved one liked, but you didn't know about it, and then you checked later on with someone else to find it to be true. There's some interesting stories on that as well, and so much more to offer, and that's absolutely free. So if you do go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, check out the left side column. It's a way that you can help us out as being a not-for-profit. There's five or six different ways. Some don't even involve reaching in and giving us a dollar. It just maybe you do your normal spending, and there's some organizations that will give money back to the Forever Family Foundation if you utilize their site. So there's so much to offer. So I'd really love it if you could check that out. We would really appreciate it, and we thank you so much for joining us. So what we're going to do now is take a short break, and when we come back from this break, we get to talk to Lloyd Auerbach. We'll be right back. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this evening, and our guest for this hour is Lloyd Auerbach. As director of the Office of Paranormal Investigation and president of the Forever Family Foundation, he's been involved in life after death and work with spirit mediums in the grieving process with the Forever Family Foundation. He has served on their scientific advisory board for a number of years, and we're really lucky to have him. His media appearances on TV, radio, and print number in the thousands, including ESPN, SportsCenter, ABC's The View, Oprah, Larry King Live, just to name a few. He's worked as a parapsychologist, professional mentalist, psychic entertainer, public speaking and media skills coach, and as a professional chocolatier. And can I tell you, he's really good at making that chocolate. Visit his public speaking site at speakasyourself.com and his main website at mindreader.com. Welcome to the program, Lloyd.
Thank you very much, Angelina.
Thank you so much for being with us. And there's so much. It's interesting, when I heard that I had the honor of interviewing you for this hour, I spoke to Bob and I said, he does so much. Where do we begin? Where do we begin? So I had an opportunity to talk to you about that beforehand, and I understand that you will be giving your classes this summer. It's something that you do every year?
Yeah, well, I'm actually doing them kind of every quarter or semester.
Oh, cool.
I'm teaching online classes through the Rhine Research Center's Education Center these days.
Oh, neat. So, that's really wonderful.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of online classes. People can take them. You know, they can take them. Some of the classes are, if they want to go for a grade, they can do that. Most people just take them kind of sort of as adult ed or continuing ed, and they don't worry about taking test quizzes or anything like that, which just for fun. But I'm doing a real fun class, an 8-week class starting the first Tuesday in July, called Pop Culture and Psychic Phenomena and Pop Culture and the Paranormal in America. And
oh, neat.
What I'm looking at, and that's kind of a film and literature class. We're going to be looking at how TV and movies and even fiction and comic books affect people's concepts of psychic abilities and psychic phenomena, including, of course, mediumship and such, and vice versa, how the media has been affected by the real stuff, too, and how they often kind of miss it, miss
yeah,
the mark
really.
So
that's
often.
Right.
So it's going to be a fun class. I've lectured on the subject before. It's always been a fun thing for me to talk about. It brings in the nerd in me very heavily, because I'm a film and TV and comic book nerd. There's no question.
That's really wonderful. That's great. So if someone wanted to take the course, would they go to the Rhine website, or would they go through
The easiest thing for that course, and there's another couple classes I'll mention here in a second, but just go to Rhine, R-H-I-N-E.org, and then on the left-hand side, you'll see a link that says education, and that'll take you right to list of classes.
And, that's really
wonderful. So that's an 8-week class. I'm doing a 4-week Develop Your Intuition class as well, starting also the first week of July, and then I'm doing a 4-week Choosing a Psychic and Medium
first
week of August.
Well, that's really neat. Now, when somebody takes a class with you, would you say that the style of the class is entertaining, since you have a very entertaining background?
Yeah, I try it. I do. Well, certainly the pop culture class is going to be really entertaining.
Gotcha.
I do try to make my other classes entertaining as well. We have a weekly webinar lecture type thing, which is immediately recorded, so if the timing doesn't work out for people, they can just watch it like almost immediately afterwards
for the rest
of the week, and they're archived in there. So it really works for people who may not want to attend things live, but want to participate or get the information, kind of follow along. It works really well for that. And I do try to make these as entertaining as possible. And the pop culture class certainly will have humor. The intuition class will have exercises for people to do to become a little more psychic.
Oh, that's really cool. I think that's really neat. I've seen you speak before, and you are a very entertaining and informative speaker. So I urge everyone to go check out those classes that you'll be offering this summer. Now, you also mentioned that you're doing other classes as well. Would this be the yearly classes, or I should say quarterly classes, that you've been offering?
Yeah. So I teach classes. Some of them are 2 weeks. Some of them are 4 weeks. And they're classes through a location called HCH Institute. A small school here in Northern California, and we do them locally, but I also offer them live via phone bridge, so people can actually just simply call into the classes as well. And again, I record the classes and send the recordings out almost immediately, plus people get recordings of the past offering of the class. I kind of give people a lot of information to play with in a number of formats, so people can listen to the class in their car later on.
And what kind of classes do you teach for that institute?
So everything from I'm teaching a series of ghost hunting classes.
Oh, neat.
This summer, doing investigations and such, as well as some short classes on phenomena like poltergeists. I have like a one-off three-hour class on poltergeists. I'll have one on hauntings. We'll have one on working with psychics and mediums in investigations, which is a fun one to talk about. And then also do some other classes throughout the year on mind over matter. I have one on psychic dreaming, a short class on psychic dreaming I'll be offering again very soon. We do one short ones on reincarnation and just a variety of topics that are
now,
available.
Do you find that our listening audience is hearing all this information? What range of students do you find in your classes? Do you find them to be people that are grieving, people are just curious, the age range? What do you find as far as people that are interested in what you offer?
Well, the age range, it really is all over the map. I think probably I rarely get people in their 20s. I get a couple here and there, but usually 30s, 40s, 50s, and above. I get a lot of retirees, people who are interested both from a very serious perspective. I have several students who've gone through both locally and at a distance who've gone through these classes and want to seriously get more involved in research in parapsychology or investigation. But I also have a lot of students who are just interested in the topics. And so one of the classes I teach is evidence for life after death, for survival. And I usually get in that class, I get more people who are interested in really what the evidence shows for their own beliefs and for their own experience. We do get people who are grieving sometimes in these classes as well. I teach a two-week, two-part mediumship class and get people who are very interested in this. And part of it is really understanding how what a medium comes through with or what the evidence says really kind of helps validate the experiences that they're actually having.
So really a wide range. So don't anyone feel intimidated. Yeah, don't anyone feel intimidated about joining any of these classes. I think that's a common thread among all of us, that we are curious about the afterlife and we want more information. So please don't hesitate if you're listening to this to get involved.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I rarely have any know-it-alls in my class.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. People really shouldn't feel intimidated. I get people who have done a lot of reading and people have done zero reading. So background on the subject. So it ranges.
Yeah, I just know from my viewpoint, when people have asked me like, where can I take a class? Can I do things? And you might tell them of something or someone like yourself, and they think, I don't know if I'm smart enough to take it, or I don't have any background in investigation. But really, I mean, if you've seen Lloyd speak, it is such a welcoming, enjoyable experience to begin with. But the variety of people that are so interested in this, don't you dare feel intimidated, right?
That's absolutely true, and thank you for saying that. That's really
nice
of you.
It's very true.
I try not. I don't want anybody to feel intimidated by myself or by the information or by any of the other students. And I think that the only thing I can say that's come back to me from time to time is people cursing me out for getting them too curious and so that they actually want to read a lot more. So they come out of the classes like, damn it, now I have to do more.
Yeah, because you're that intrigued.
Which is what every educator wants to hear, really.
That's right. So that means you're doing your job. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So how can they get involved in these other classes at the, you said the HCH Institute?
Probably the easiest way for anyone is to either send me an email,
okay.
which is Prof Paranormal, so it's P-R-O-F as in professor, profparanormal@gmail.com, or they can go to my website, which is mindreader.com, and there is if they scroll down, they'll see a way to sign up for my newsletter.
Oh, okay.
Right, a place. That's the easiest way to keep track of all the various classes, because I'm doing the Ryan Center. I'm doing some other places I'll be doing some other online classes for some other organizations as well. So it's kind of this way they can kind of keep track of them all and pick and choose the one that fits their schedule or fits their budget or fits their timing or their interests that way as well.
There you go. So mindreader.com, really a bountiful selection from, of course, coming from your years of experience of doing so much. So
yeah.
I think it's a fabulous thing, and I think we're really hungry. I think, don't you feel, and this is a question I wanted to ask you, you've been doing this for what, 35 years? Over 35 years?
That's, over 35,
you know, that's wonderful amount of experience. Do you find that this period of time, say like the last 8 or 9 years or so, people seem to be more open and hungry for your knowledge?
I think people are more willing to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and come out and basically admit to their interests and take mm-hmm. advantage of it when the right opportunity comes along, as opposed to, let's say, 30 years ago when people were still afraid to admit that they had this interest.
Right.
In the subject.
So did you have to teach in a different way because it was kind of done in the dark, so to speak?
Well, you know, back 30 years ago, we actually had a graduate parapsychology program at John F. Kennedy University, which thanks to unfortunately, some loss of funding and also mm-hmm. a political issue at JFK, which got resolved, unfortunately, after our program ended. We were doing a fully accredited scientific program in the field and having
wow.
a lot of interest on our program at that point. But I would say that there were adult ed classes being taught by various people even back then and continuing it at or adult ed locations around the U.S. When I was in New York between the middle of 81 and the middle of 83, I taught at a few adult ed centers, and including continuing ed at Westchester Community College. So there was definitely interest in the subject, but not as much opportunity. And today we have, I think, a lot more opportunity online, but very little from an academic perspective, because universities in the United States just will not take a chance on the subject given a real academic prejudice against the subject. I'd say that that's more today than it was in the past. But, again, more people are coming out of the closet with their interests, which is really good. It's just not falling through into the academic world.
I see. We're speaking with Lloyd Auerbach. He is offering some classes on his various amount of experience from whether it be understanding psychic phenomenon, psychic dreaming, ghost hunting. I mean, the list is long. You've written over 9 books. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Nine books in the paranormal and one on self-publishing and promotion.
There we go. Perfect. You can speak to him if you have a question or if you're curious about some of the topics we've spoken about so far. Give us a call at 888-627-6008. Lloyd, I'd like to ask you about a book that I understand is going to be republished soon called Psychic Dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting topic. I know a lot of people have questions about their dreams. I think maybe perhaps it's probably the first time that when someone has a profound dream, it feels otherworldly or it feels different.
Yeah.
Can you classify dreams that happen to people? Or is it just everyone is so different that you really can't have a certain kind of a dream, and there's a varied amount of types of dreams?
Well, you know, what it really is that when we're dreaming, we're in the dream state, we mm-hmm. are, I guess you could say our inhibitions are gone. All mm-hmm. the rules that apply to us when we're awake, our unconscious doesn't care about. So it's a great state for us to have psychic experiences of varying sorts, whether it be precognitive experiences, out-of-body experiences, actually in the dream state, or after-death communication experiences, for that matter. We're open. We don't have the blocks that our conscious mind kind of throws up for us. The problem is that you wake up and you tend to forget your dreams.
Right.
That's just human nature. Although you can train yourself to remember your dreams, but you kind of hit the nail on the head when I wrote the book originally 20 some odd years ago, and since then I've interviewed a lot of people about their psychic dreams. I asked them how they knew the dream was psychic, was something different, and they basically said it felt different. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much the same language everybody's using. They knew it was different. They felt it was different. It wasn't like they woke up, it had a big sign on it that said, this is going to come true. But there was that piece of it for the ones that people remember when they wake up. And then there are the ones that they remember while the event is happening. So you may actually have a psychic dream or have a dream and forget about it, but as soon as the event that you dreamt about starts happening, it'll come rushing back to you, and you'll know that it was from a dream. And sometimes you'll even know what the next few things are going to happen.
Right. I think one of the biggest questions I've heard is, if I dream something bad, does that mean it will come true?
The answer to that is no.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the answer is, now, we can't stop natural disasters.
Right.
But we can stop where we're going to be during a natural disaster. And we have many, there's actually this thing called the intervention paradox that we know about in parapsychology, and that is, if I dream about an event and I avoid the event, the event's going to happen directly to me, and I avoid the event, but I see the event actually happen to somebody else or happen some other way, how could I have gotten the information from the future to begin with if it didn't happen to me?
Right.
And that's a little bit paradoxical, but what we have discovered, all the evidence from the laboratory research as well as studying people's experiences of knowing the future, is that we're picking up the most likely future or a probable future. Hmm. We're not picking up, in other words, the future's not set in stone, but all things considered, this is what's likely going to happen. And then if some other event, either your decision based on what you learn, or someone gives you information, or something else, some other unforeseen side event interacts, then, of course, that's going to change. Kind of like the weather. You can predict, the meteorologists predict the weather days out, and then all of a sudden there's like some minor thing that they didn't take into account, and the prediction's different.
Right. And, of course, your physical life can affect that, too. Do you find
absolutely
that there's interruptions when someone might be having a psychic dream and maybe their mind gets in the way of seeing that dream, that psychic dream, clearly because maybe they have some issues in their life?
That can easily happen. And even just the dream recall process is difficult. And just when it comes right down to it, we know this from the remote viewing research, that you may not get a very clear picture of everything. You may think of it as parts of it. There's a picture in front of you, and you're getting parts from all four corners, but you forgot you didn't get the center part. So it may not be enough information to act on, but it's enough information to know that you're picking up something about the future or about things that are going on elsewhere.
And do you think that we could use dreaming or psychic dreaming to enhance our lives at all?
Well, dreaming for sure, and psychic dreaming to some extent as well. You know, part of that is to work with your dreams. The ancient Egyptians had a technique they called dream incubation. And what that means is, before you go to sleep, you tell yourself that you're going to remember your dreams. You have to kind of program yourself to remember your dreams. And then when you wake up, you have to have some way of writing down or recording into a voice recorder what you dreamt about as soon as possible, so it doesn't fade away from your memory. That's number one. The second piece of this is telling yourself you're going to dream about X situation, this particular situation. You know, we always think about I want to sleep on that decision. But that idea of sleeping on a decision comes from this ancient technique where you'd actually let your unconscious play out the options so that when you wake up remembering the dream, which was the best option. So we can do that. We can also program ourselves once we recognize that we have these psychic dreams. I want to dream about this future event. I want to dream about what's going on in some place in the world while I'm asleep. I want to dream about, I wanted to have a dream where I go out of my body or have a communication with someone. You can program mm-hmm. yourself to do that as well.
Now, do you have some advice for someone who might be having a hard time deciphering this is a psychic dream or no, this is a physical life dream? Some advice
well, you know,
on how
generally,
they can separate that?
Based on everyone who, like I said, has remembered and reported their psychic dreams, there was a different feeling, a contextual feeling. It didn't feel like a physical life dream. It felt like something that was different enough. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a psychic dream. It could be symbolic still. And mm-hmm. symbolism is a little difficult in dream states because it comes from within ourselves. Mm-hmm. So while there are common archetypes and images that kind of cut across culture because we're human,
right.
Those dream dictionaries that are out there are not terribly useful.
Right.
They might be useful in triggering something, but they're not, you know, it's the dream dictionary that fits for the guy who wrote the dream dictionary.
Right.
But you look up artichoke in there, and it may have nothing to do with what an artichoke represents for you, which may be that it's your favorite vegetable.
Right. Because everyone has different life experiences and how they process
right.
them through their
that's
being.
Right.
So
and potentially past life experiences, too.
That's right. It's so vast. But that's a very interesting thing. Now, when is that book, Psychic Dreaming, going to be republished again?
The new version is due out April 1st, I believe. So, you know, publishers take a long time to put them in the queue, but that's when it's coming out. It's already listed on Amazon as it happens.
Oh, April 1st of next year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we got some time then.
We got plenty of time. Good. Yeah. It's, you know, when you work with a regular publisher as opposed
gotcha.
To putting it up yourself someplace,
I hear you.
It could be, you know, this is something authors don't realize. It can take months and months to get on their schedule. I mean, physically, they yeah. could print it tomorrow and put it out to bookstores, but there's a lot of things that have to happen. And for bookstores to pre-order it and for Amazon to pre-order it and all that stuff, it needs to be in the queue. Sometimes months and even sometimes a year in advance.
There we go. Well, we'll be looking out for it. It sounds like a very intriguing book, and we've only really touched the surface of it. What
yeah.
we're going to do right now is take a short break, and we come back. I think we're going to talk a little bit about ghosts, okay? We're listening to Signs of Life Radio. We'll be right back.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this hour, Angelina Diana. We've been speaking with Lloyd Auerbach. Lloyd, thank you for being with us this hour.
Well, you're welcome, Angelina. My pleasure.
Now, I want to remind everyone that there is a bevy full and wonderful class selection that Lloyd will be offering during the summer and actually every quarter. If you'd like some more information, I would suggest that first you go to his website, mindreader.com, to get a taste of what's there. But the best way to reach him is by emailing him at profparanormal, P-R-O-F as in Frank, paranormal, at gmail.com with your interest in taking some classes. So there's a lot there to look into and a lot of offerings. So I really recommend you check that out. Now, Lloyd, I'm really curious. You must get this a lot, you know, being the experienced ghost hunter that you are, an investigator that you are. A lot of people say things like, oh my God, I went into this house and I felt it was haunted. What kind of suggestions do you give folks? And do you actually give suggestions that maybe on some level they can be attuned to the energy that they might be feeling?
Yeah, you know, we're all a little bit psychic. And mm-hmm. when we talk about haunted houses, they're really looking at two different things that can be possible. One is if there's someone actually there, an entity, conscious, discarnate entity actually present. And the other, which is really common, that the environment itself, the house itself, holds information. It kind of records things. We've all walked into a house that suddenly felt good or felt bad. We get kind of a vibe off the house.
Right.
And a lot of times when we then get to know the people, or if we know the people anyway, we find that it's about the people, their emotions. Couples that fight a lot leave kind of a bad vibe in the house. Couples that have, or families that have really a great time or have really happy, they leave that vibe behind as well. And so we pick up, everybody picks up this kind of like emotional imprint. And sometimes it's a little more than emotion. Sometimes it can seem visual or auditory, like footsteps or seeing a figure. And it's just a recording that we can kind of, people do pick up from time to time. So we have to kind of separate whether it's conscious or kind of the old live or is it Memorex kind of thing. In some respects, recording
you.
Or not. And, you know, one way to find out is to communicate, to try to talk to them. And that's when people think they have a ghost in their house, I suggest they try to ask the ghost, well, who are you? What can we do for you? You know, what do you need? That kind of thing. Because it's the rarest of circumstances that the person who's the ghost is going to be a bully or nasty to you at all. Mm. So, you know, there are things that people can do for that. When we do investigations, we often... Well, we first look for normal explanations because, unfortunately, you can have a real experience with a ghost, and then you're on edge so much that every little thing that you didn't notice about your house before, every noise it makes when it's settling, things knocking, coming off the wall just simply because the nail wasn't in tight enough,
right.
Somebody knocked something off a shelf, all of those things become the ghost did it. And
right.
We have to separate all of those things out, even from the most haunted places, which becomes kind of a little bit of a detective game. But that's something everybody can do themselves. They can question when they have an experience, each little event, think really hard, does that have to do with the ghost or the haunting, or is that just simply something normal?
Right. And once they find it might be a ghost, do they need to understand the different kinds of things it can be, or is that like dreaming? You just have a sense that it's a ghost, and then
with the conscious ones, with the apparitions or the ghosts, the idea that someone stuck around after they've died, And it is not the case that they stay, you know, that ghosts go to places they died, unless they died where they lived. One of the things we see is that people tend to go to the people, they go to their families, or they go to the people they had association with, mm-hmm. or you go to the places they had association with when they were alive,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily where they died. Otherwise, we'd have a lot more ghosts haunting the spots of fatal car accidents, when in fact the people who die in fatal car accidents end up back at their homes or at other places.
So, and if they pass in their home, are they more likely to stay in their home?
Probably.
Yeah,
unless they have a better association
with the place that they
worked or
something.
That's what I've
got going on in my house right now. We just bought a new house.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it just depends. But it's really communication. You know
right.
that as a medium. We have to communicate to find out
right.
if there's anybody home in their heads, so to speak.
And I'm sure from doing many investigations that you have, you've utilized psychics and mediums when you've gone to investigate. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a firm believer in using human technology, the thing that humans are good at. Humans are good at being psychic. Mm-hmm. I should say some humans are good at being psychic. The technology you see in the ghost hunting shows is only really, if it's any good at all, it's good for picking up what changes there are in the environment during the haunting or during the ghost, when the ghost is around. They're not good for detecting ghosts because we have nothing that can do that at this point in time. So we really have to rely on the witnesses, the people who have the experiences that bring us in to begin with, and we rely on psychics, whether they're professional or amateur psychics and mediums. And of course, as you know, not every psychic has the same talents, and not
right.
every medium works the same way.
Right.
So I often work with multiple people to try to get a fuller picture of what's going on.
Now, do you use psychics differently than mediums during your investigation? Or do you find that someone might call themselves a psychic, someone might call themselves a medium and have a different definition of that, but you really look for those that can really just sense spirit?
Well, since we do have cases where there is no entity, per se. For example, poltergeist cases, we're really dealing with the energy coming from a living person.
Mm-hmm.
So a psychic who is capable of reading living people is really helpful in that situation.
Yeah,
of course,
imagine.
All mediums are psychic. Some mediums
right.
can read living people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to work with people who can do both. But then there is that ability of psychometry, which some psychics are really good at, where they can hold an object or touch an object and get a read on its history really well. And a house mm-hmm. is a big object. So
right.
in many of the hauntings where a medium has, there's no one to communicate with, the information is coming from the location, then a psychic who's good at that will be actually very useful in those circumstances.
Now, you use the word apparition, and then there's telepathy. So I'm kind of confused in understanding. Do you feel there are two different things? I guess that's the best way to say it.
Well, apparition is actually an older term, and it's a term we tend to use in parapsychology for the conscious entities, for
right.
the spirits. We use that interchangeably with ghosts. You know, although ghosts has a real charge to it,
right.
cross-culturally, it means different things to different cultures. But most Americans, when they talk about a ghost, they're talking about somebody who stuck around after they've died, and that's an apparition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're kind of interchangeable in that way. Telepathy is mind-to-mind communication or mind-to-mind information, and that would be how the apparition or ghost is communicating with people to begin with, or with mediums. It's telepathic.
Because I've heard some mediums that have worked with investigators where they are two different things, but they kind of make them one. I don't know how else to put it in words. It's almost like they feel the telepathy, and that is, I wish I had the right term that I've heard some other mediums use, that is the entity. You know, it's two different, to me, it's two different experiences.
That would be an incorrect use of telepathy. Telepathy is the process by which we communicate.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's kind of what I thought, because it feels like two different things to me. And I've heard other mediums say that it was one, but it's actually two different functions. Now, how does this
play? Well, it's like radio. I mean, you listen to the end result of the signal, mm-hmm. but the signal's broadcast. So both things are, you know, one is radio waves and the other is radio.
There you go. That makes sense. Now, when you watch television shows that have investigators and ghost hunting, what's mm-hmm. your take on that? Because to me, you know, it's television. Maybe it might be sensationalized. Or what's the difference that you see in real life investigating as opposed to television?
Well, most of the TV shows, and I have to say almost all of them, have some element or are completely created by or methodologically affected by the TV production values and the production companies and their intention. Mm-hmm. So you take any of the ghost hunting shows, and the very fact that they are investigating, almost all of them are investigating in the dark with night shot cameras and such, that would, you know, they make it seem like that's the only way to do an investigation. But then you have to ask the question, well, then how did anybody investigate before night shot?
Right.
Because that was going on for over 100 years. And the fact is that that's a creation of television, that without not night shot cameras, TV productions would never have done that, could never have done that. Back in the 80s and early 90s when I was, the TV that I did, we still did the visits to haunted locations in the evenings because, of course, they wanted it to make it look spooky. Although a number of the shows that I work with wanted to go when things were likely to happen, which often was middle of the day. You know, people have experiences throughout the day. They don't have experiences. In fact, they very rarely have experiences after they fall asleep, except maybe dream experiences. And we don't see a lot of things happening in the dark. Things happen with the lights on. So even in those circumstances, while the producer wanted to turn the lights down, thankfully the camera guy would say, but if you turn the lights down, we can't see anything.
Right.
So there's this production thing that happened to make things look spookier, and the night shot was perfect for that. The same with a lot of the tech. When Ghostbusters came out, and I was doing TV work at that point with people coming on cases, every producer asked, do you have anything that has flashing lights on it?
Oh, boy.
Like in Ghostbusters?
Oh, my goodness.
So it's really, you know, TV is a visual medium, and that's not, what we're doing is not necessarily adaptable in the way that they would like it to be, although, frankly, if they gave us money to build some equipment that had flashing lights on, I'd be very happy to do that. It would have to be functional also, but it just has to be, it has to work. The problem with a lot of the TV, other thing with a lot of the TV shows is they avoid working with psychics and mediums because the shows are really about the personalities of the people who are doing the investigating. You know, Ghost Hunters is about the ghost hunters. It's not about the phenomena. It's about these guys. The original Ghost Hunters were Jason and Grant had worked for Roto-Rooter. And Roto-Rooter was even prominently featured in the first couple of seasons. And it was about them and their buddies doing the investigation. It was not about the phenomena, very clearly. It's about them. That's what reality TV is about, personalities. It's not about things. So even the pawn shows and all these other shows, the storage shows, they're about the people who do these things, not about the thing itself. And that's a problem if you're trying to understand what's actually going on or show what's going on. You adapt the method, they adapt the ghost hunting methods to the personalities rather than to the phenomena itself that we're trying to understand.
So if someone's interested in having an investigation in their home, what would be maybe the ethical things that someone should look for, or maybe you could point out the red flags, whatever you think you could advise our listeners?
Well, there are so many ghost hunting groups locally around that I would suggest that if they're going to talk to them, they interview them, you know, get a good referral if they're going to do it that way. Basically, they want to know, A, if that ghost hunting group knows anything about parapsychology, and I can say that 90% of them don't even know the word. So they know nothing about the literature or the research and survival of after death. They will often be very negative about working with psychics and mediums, especially mediums, and some of them will even say, all mediums are phonies. They don't know what they're doing. They'll focus on their technology, which doesn't pick up ghosts to begin with. They'll want to be there in the house either alone or overnight in the dark. So all of those things are red flags right off the bat. And the thing I would always ask is, so you come over, you tell us we have a ghost, what do you do for us? How do you help us? That's the important question. Right. How are you going to help us?
Right.
And most of these groups, all they can tell you is they're going to tell you, they'll come up with the evidence that there really is or is not something in your house.
Right.
That doesn't do any good. That's like bringing a plumber in saying, and the plumber comes in and says, yep, you have a leak, and then the plumber leaves.
Right, right. Because all they're doing is instilling fear of the unknown.
Right. Right.
So
and
how would someone be helped? Can you give us a quick example?
You know, because so many of these shows are about evil and fear and all that, because that's how you get ratings.
Right. But
these ghost hunting groups follow along with that without even considering what's going on, because most of them don't want to even do any education. They're not interested in my classes, most of these ghost hunters. They don't
care. Too bad.
They watch a TV show. That's how they figure out how they learn something.
Wow. So can you give us a quick example of how you might have gone into a home, you found something, and you helped either educate or create a resolution for a homeowner?
Sure. We had many cases where we've done that. But in one case, actually a really interesting case, that Annette Martin, one of my late colleagues, who was a phenomenal psychic and medium, she and I work with, we had gotten a call about this family of four that had this figure popping up. And they said he tried to talk to them. They couldn't hear him. They could see him really clearly. And they said, you know, the wife actually, when we got there, told us that he was looking very frustrated. He was not really freaking out the kids. The guy in the house was a little freaked out. And the night before we got there, what they told us was he appeared at the top of the stairs as the couple were taking their young kids to put them to bed. And the husband saw the ghost suddenly appear. And he literally got so freaked out, he turned around and ran into the wall and knocked himself out.
Oh, my goodness.
And the woman said the kids were laughing. They thought it was funny. She said the ghost looked appalled, upset. And then she said she could almost, you know, the kids said they could almost see the Tweety Birds kind of flying around the husband's head, like in a cartoon. He woke up. The first thing he said was the ghost threw him into the wall, which apparently generated a lot of laughter from the kids. So when Annette and I got there, Annette immediately, we walk in, and Annette said, oh, he's here. And she points over the corner, and one of the family members sees him. And she starts laughing, and I said, what are you laughing at? She said, he was appalled about what happened. He started telling her about what had happened the night before. The couple didn't tell us that. The ghost told us that. The spirit
told
us that. And so what was going on was he had died a few blocks away, and he'd been wandering around he lived in the area. They didn't know him, but he lived in the area. He'd been looking for anybody who could see him, who could communicate with him. And he found this family, and they could see him, but he was trying to figure out how to communicate with them. So he was really happy they called us in. And Annette was able to help the family understand who he was, which we did confirm later on, and then help him move on, because he did want to move on. He didn't see the light that kept on hearing about when he was alive.
Okay.
So that
gave peace to the family, and you also helped that particular spirit.
Right, exactly.
That's beautiful, exactly. Which that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And finally, and I don't know if you can do this in 1 minute or less, but if you've had on some of your investigations, I mean, I think you just expressed it, but if there's another thing that you experienced personally mm-hmm. through your investigations that you said in your heart, there is an afterlife, there has to, because of what happened to you.
Well, I've had cases where the only, you know, to me, the only, this is early on in my career, the only explanation was that there was a consciousness present after death. There, right. That was literally the only possible explanation that fit any and everything that we got. But over the years, working especially at a couple locations, the Moss Beach Distillery Restaurant, which is just south of San Francisco, I've kind of had so many investigations with the ghost who's called the Blue Lady. We know her name is Kate. She walked through me in one of the lengthier investigations we did, kind of back and forth in a very playful way, and it went on for a few minutes, and then the three mediums I had on the case came in from the other dining room, and they all saw her, and they saw that her wearing the same clothing, and there was a lot of correspondence to that, but that was kind of the real intense close encounter that I've had with her.
Wow. And with your experience as a knowledgeable person, if somebody out there in closing is afraid when they see an entity or they sense something, do they really have something to be afraid of?
No, they really should have no fear. First of all, us living folks have more energy and power than the deceased do, the dead do.
Right.
It may be unconscious, but it's still there. We have a shield, kind of a psychic shield up for us. They really can't hurt us, but they can surprise us. Like this guy surprised the father of this family who knocked himself out. So that's, I think, how you react is going to determine whether you have anything to be afraid of.
Right.
And if you react without fear, you're going to have no problem whatsoever. I've never, ever, in all the cases that I've done, in all the places I've been, had anything to be afraid of from spirits. I have been afraid of some of the living people.
There you go.
But not of the dead.
Exactly. Well, Lloyd, on that note, I want to thank you so much for joining us this hour. Your information is so intriguing, and your vast knowledge is just absolutely astounding. And I thank you so much for your dedication to this field. We get to benefit from it. So I want to encourage everyone, if you're interested in taking classes with Lloyd, again, there's a vast variety to choose from. Please consider emailing him at profparanormal, P-R-O-F as in Frank, paranormal, @gmail.com. Thank you for joining us, Lloyd.
Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you so much. And I want to remind everyone, your loved ones are only a heartbeat away. Thank you for joining us, and have a good night.